This is the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000.
All right, let's talk.
Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Adam Gold.
I really felt like we could have done 15 minutes just on underwear.
We could have.
There's no question about it. All right, so we're at ACC Football Media Days, Operation Kickoff. I don't even know what they officially call it anymore. It doesn't matter. We were introduced to the new commissioner of the ACC, Jim Phillips, today. Look, Jim Phillips, do you have that clip ready, Alec, or no?
No, I don't have it.
Okay. Jim Phillips basically gave a state of the league address. League has done great on the field, doing great academically. He went through all of things. A couple of very quick observations from me about Jim Phillips. If we were looking for substance today from the opening statement, we weren't going to get it. It was really sort of an introduction. He's got big shoes to fill on the heels of John Swofford. And I thought he kind of was walking the double yellow line in the middle of the road on a number of issues. Vaccines, he wouldn't go as far as Greg Sankey went in terms of, look, if you're not ready to play, it's going to end up being a forfeit. You know, the national standard on name, image, and likeness, we don't need a national standard. Look, maybe I'm more militant about this than anything. I think water will find its level. He predictably, as a Notre Dame guy, he predictably tiptoed through the Notre Dame to the ACC conversation. There was a sidestep to the playoff, the expanded playoff. We'll talk about that throughout the program with other people, David Cutcliffe, Wes Durham. You'll hear from Dabo Swinney on that as well. So it was sort of an introduction to the commissioner of the ACC, Jim Phillips. We've talked to him before. I know we will talk to him again. But... and we'll get to Dabo Swinney's comments in a second. But another head coach is in the news based on yesterday's media day, and it came from an unlikely source, if you will, and that is the Southwestern Athletic Conference. Deion Sanders made the news. First, here is Deion Sanders dealing with a reporter who disrespected him.
Nick Suss, you're up.
Hey, Deion, I was just wondering if you could...
Hold on, let's back up a little bit. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion.
Okay. I call Nick Saban Nick.
No, you don't. No, you don't. That's a lie. If you call Nick Nick, you know you'll get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick.
Okay, Deion. All right.
Now, my guess is that's where Deion got up and walked off. A couple of quick things about it. First of all, Alec, is Deion right? Does Nick Saban? Well, you gotta have prove it to me.
Oh, okay.
Hey Nick, John
prove
Salt
it to me.
AL.com.
Hey Nick, Bob Holtz, Arkansas.
Hey Nick, just wanted to say first off,
can't row on the right side.
Hey Nick, you had a.
Hey Nick, Rick Carley here. You mentioned
Ron Higgins, TigerDetails.com. Nick. There's been a lot made about
Nick Crawford, the WFF 48 in Huntsville.
We'll go to Tony Sakalis next.
Hey, Nick, what have you seen from...
Hey, Nick, to your right.
You've had this run of 10-win seasons.
Hey, Nick, Brooks Scabino with The Advocate and Baton
Rouge. Hey, Nick, to your right. Chris Price, WBRZ Sports 2 in Baton Rouge.
Nick, you had 6 true freshmen on all...
Nick, with the NCAA...
Pat 40 from Yahoo Sports. Nick, there's plenty of talk about one...
apparently everybody calls Nick Saban Nick.
Right.
Like if I call him coach, I'm going to be like an outlier.
You'd be the weirdo.
There. By the way, my favorite part of that was the person from Tiger Beat Tales. What the hell is that? Yeah. What is Tiger Beat Tales? Is that a kids magazine?
My favorite part.
My
favorite part of the Deion exchange was at the end where the reporter goes, "Okay, Deion." Good for him.
A couple of quick things about this, because I think it's obviously funny. I personally believe this is performative by Deion Sanders. I think it's calculated by Deion Sanders. And this is why. I think he sort of chuckled through it. And then I guess when the guy said, okay, Deion, I think that's probably when Deion went, you know what, that was uncalled for. I'm leaving now. And I don't know if he cut his time, media time, short or not. He claims on his Twitter, Coach Prime, and that's what he wants to be called. He doesn't even want to be called Coach Sanders. He wants to be called Coach Prime. I think it's calculated simply to get attention. Maybe it's attention for Deion. Maybe it's attention for Jackson State. Maybe it's attention for the Southwestern Athletic Conference. But there's no way anybody is talking about Jackson State and Deion Sanders if that doesn't happen. I kind of think maybe not planned, but just the whole idea is somewhat calculated. So I'm kind of amused by this more than anything else.
Yeah, I mean, this is a thing that came up one day when you were out a bunch of months ago, when there was a reporter somewhere down in Alabama who was admonishing the other reporters for not calling Nick Saban Coach Saban. So we kind of had this discussion a little bit, and I actually find it weirder the aversion to calling coaches by their first name. Like, the way that I view it is, you're not my coach. Like, you're a professional. I'm a professional. We're both here doing our jobs. You call me by my name. I call you by your name. And that's just kind of how it is. I don't really understand why it has to be any more complicated than that. But some people believe that there is some amount of reverence attached to a football coach for being a coach, which I don't necessarily understand. So, you know, depending on the relationship that you have with some people, you know, or maybe there's a nickname, you know, that you call someone coach or whatever. But if some coach is going to, like, wield some, like, level of authority over me because he is a coach of a football team and he wants me to call him coach, nah, I ain't with that.
Yeah, I think it depends on the relationship you have with that person, you know, how familiar you are with each other. Like, it's going to be hard for me to call John Shire coach, right? I'll probably just kind of rotate through a lot of things, but I'm sure a lot of it will be John. You know, how many times do we talk to Lavelle Moten? I mean, sometimes I call him coach. Sometimes I call him Lavelle. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I call him Vel.
Right.
Right. Heck, I've probably even, like, prefaced a sentence by saying dude with Lavelle Moten before.
Right. No,
it all depends on the relationship you have.
But think about it this way. Like, this is the equivalent if there was a coach out there who preferred that they be called. This would be like a doctor being like, call me doctor. Right. And it's just like double middle fingers. Right. That's the immediate. Like,
wait,
response.
Double middle fingers from you or from the doctor?
From admonishing me for that. Like, I owe you some level of reverence because of that title, right? That's the way that I feel about it. It's like, nah, you're a man, I'm a man. We both got first names. Let's just call each other by that. You know,
you
like,
disrespect the doctor, you're liable to get double middle fingers too, and that's a problem.
Yeah, and it's not so much the fact that I don't want to call you a doctor, but the minute you tell me to do that, basically tells me that you think you're of a higher, you're above me, essentially.
Right.
Because you need me to address you in a certain way, and you're telling me to do that? Yeah, get out of here.
And the other problem was that Nick Saban has accomplished a shade more than Deion Sanders. So we'll just leave that at that. Before we get to hoops, the Olympics started last night, and this morning, Alec, it's a checkered start at best for the United States. Women's softball won, but the 44-game winning streak for the U.S. women's national soccer team is over. Sweden beat them 3-0.
What?
3-0. I didn't watch the game, so I can't even comment. They, according to Dennis Cox, on-site guru here, that the U.S. Team was slapped around by Sweden. So it's just group stage. So probably doesn't mean that much, but that is wild. All right, let's get to what happened last night in Milwaukee. 17,000 people inside, 717,000 people, it seemed, outside of the arena. Bucks win it. Giannis was unbelievable. To me, Giannis did what legendary not MVPs do. Giannis did what legendary players do. He saw the moment, he grabbed it by the Spaldings, and he dragged the Bucks across the finish line. Think about this. 50 points in a closeout game, most since the merger. Michael Jordan, I forget which year it was, had 45. But the most since the ABA-NBA merger in the mid-70s. Giannis had 50 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 5 blocks. He made 17 of 19 free throws. What is that? If Giannis shoots a normal percentage from the free throw line, Phoenix might win the game. But nah, Giannis was not letting that happen. After the game, obviously, there's a lot of things going through everybody's mind. But he talked about Kobe Bryant, and there's been a lot of Kobe Bryant talk. You know, most of it erroneous, but Giannis talked about being inspired.
You know, he basically started like almost like a joke at first. You know, like he was like a Nike ad, and he was sending like challenge to players, to Isaiah Thomas, DeMar DeRozan, and all that. And I was like, yeah, let me just shoot my shot. You know, kind of like, what's my challenge? And he was like MVP, but at first I was like joking. I didn't thought he's gonna respond to me, but when he did, he made me believe. Like, I'm like, Kobe Bryant thinks I can do this. I can play in the higher level and lead my team and win the MVP. You know, and I had to do it. You know, I had to work hard. You know, and not only necessarily let him down. I had to work hard because people believe that I can do it. You know, and that's the theme. I'm a people pleaser. You know, I don't like letting people down. I'm like letting, like, when I resigned with the city of Milwaukee, that's the main reason I resigned, because I didn't want to let the people down and think that, you know, I don't work extremely hard for them, which I do, you know, but be able to accomplish those things in this period of time is crazy. It's unreal. It's freaking unreal. I can't believe it.
I love Giannis. I absolutely love that guy. He is everything you want. And what he did last night was just awesome. We're going to talk about it more with Brendan Whitted here in a second at HU Cosell on Twitter, our friend from the League Pass, Lair. Real quick before we get to Brendan. For those people, and it was immediate last night, for those people who hit send on stories about how Chris Paul blew a 2-0 series lead and is the first player in NBA history to blow a 2-0 series lead 4 times, you wanted to write that before the game. You wrote the story before the game and hit send in spite of what we saw in the game. Chris Paul gave Phoenix a chance. Nobody else really did. So if your mindset is that Chris Paul blew a series, that's simply what you wanted to write, and it's a shame. David Cutcliffe, Duke football coach, with us. First of all, I want to start with a light moment, because this came up yesterday. If I were to slip and call you David, would this interview be over?
No. I read it. And, you know, let me explain. Coach Sanders. Here.
Okay, no, it's Coach Prime.
Oh,
he would have left the table.
Oh, okay,
it's Coach Prime.
All right, well, Coach Prime, let me explain it. I mean, so let's go back to Florida State, when the only way Coach Bowden would be referenced is
right.
Coach Bowden. People used to come up to me and said, "Oh, Bear this and Coach Bryant."
Right.
And so I understand where he came from. But I have been called Cut, Coach Cut,
right,
David, and many other things as we coach that we never hear, thank goodness. And some of them I've seen written in emails to
right.
me that you got to get past that. So what I would say now lightheartedly is don't call me Dion or Nick, or I'm getting up and walking out.
I'll try not to. I can't promise
okay.
anything.
Okay.
Let's start with your view of where your program is right now. I mean, it's not a secret. It's been a tough couple of years. I mean, there are extenuating circumstances that everybody's had to deal with, but it is, has affected programs differently. So where is Duke football today?
Well, our program is great. We've had a couple of tough teams. When you lose Daniel, you know, makes a decision to come out, and we had a good team, and we just fell just short of being a bowl team. Last year was an outlier, the most difficult thing I've ever done in my career by far.
Right.
But I could only answer the question after having a spring practice and a summer with our team. I really have enjoyed the work ethic, the attitude, the togetherness, the chemistry of this team. Tells me that the program is alive and well. Watching the program work off the field with our support staff, whether it's medically, academically, the weight room has been phenomenal. We had three records set yesterday. I think I also have in my mind that, okay, even though your program is healthy, we've got to get back to our winning ways, which is not easy anywhere you are. And I realized that getting people back, I mean, we didn't have a single person in the stands a year ago.
Right.
That was hard in itself. I was thinking about going up, sitting in the stands and yelling at me, yelling at me from in the stands just to feel normal. But I realized that we've got to find our groove. And so we'll know more as the season starts, but we're much more prepared to start the season. We do have question marks personnel-wise in a couple of spots, but we probably also have the most depth and competition we've had across the board, which I like a lot, which hasn't always been the case.
You've talked about that a lot. Let me ask you just specifically before I get to some bigger picture things. Give me the position group you are most optimistic about.
Yeah, I think offensive line, receiver, running back, tight end on offense. Let's jump before we get to defense to the specialist.
Okay.
People forget that. That's a position group, and
we
got all of our starters returning there. Defensively would be the secondary and linebacker. The question mark would be youth in the defensive line, and the question mark would be inexperienced quarterback.
Right.
So that's really where the
– That's a big deal.
It is a big deal in both cases.
Right.
But it's not like we're starting to address that now. We knew this in January, okay? So we've been addressing this since January through spring practice, through the summer, and I like the progress we're making.
David Cutcliffe is with us here at ACC Football Kickoff. A victim of your own success for 6 years, basically averaged between 7 and 8 wins a year. And that is something that in the recent history of Duke football, before you got here, no chance. It's hard to stay on top. It's hard to stay at that level. Maybe harder for Duke. How do you, respond to the people who go, well, you did it once, why can't you do it again?
Well, I'm grinning because I went to my mind and referenced a few emails that got through to me.
Sure.
And, I mean, there was some brutal. And I actually, I'm not belittling people and their passions, but I'm like, okay, we really have arrived when I'm getting the nastiest of emails because we are a victim of some success that's been created through all of the people that have been involved 13 previous years. So you do face that anywhere. When I came in to Duke, one of the things I had to really get the 2018.
Still, I remember being there for the press conference. I can't believe it was that long ago.
Yeah, to buy in to the fact they thought it was easy to win at other schools. It's not easy to win at Alabama. Ask Nick Saban. It takes a lot of organized work. And when you understand that, there is that fine line. And that fine line for a developmental program, we're not a selection program. You know, there are people that select, don't really recruit. We're a developmental program, so that fine line is thinner. And so I know that, and I make no excuses, and I haven't done a great job of managing those circumstances last year, particularly unique year, but I got a job to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when things don't happen exactly as they should, it's all the head coach.
Right.
Coach Bryant taught me this. When you're losing, that's when you say I or me. Mm-hmm. And then he explained, I didn't like that. And then he explained to me, as a head coach, you selected everybody there, staff, players, and you also oversee and view and watch tape, and the kicking game is yours, the defense is yours, the offense is yours. And you know what? He was right.
Right.
Because I saw it fail, and I have no one. So those emails were effectively right,
okay,
but not permanent. Okay.
All right, let me get to a couple of bigger picture things. In terms of the expanding playoff, which we know is coming, are you a fan? I know I'm just going to bring up something that Dabo Swinney said yesterday. Our players are not in favor of it. They don't want to play more games. And then he said, I don't know if there's 12 teams good enough to legitimately compete for a championship. Make a playoff is different than compete for a championship. What are your thoughts?
I agree with both statements. This isn't about finding a truer national champion. It's not.
Right.
This is about money.
Yes.
Nothing else but money. I even heard somebody said that, well, there's not enough teams that get postseason opportunities. Well, that's not the only postseason opportunity.
Right.
This will take bowl games and take them another step away.
Mm-hmm.
Will cause players that don't end up in a 12-team playoff structure to not play in bowl games. I don't know if any of that's healthy, although I agree 100% it's inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not a tournament sport, nor is the NFL. And we often see a team win the Super Bowl that's not the best team all year
sure.
long. And our tournament, so to speak, because of our structure, is the regular season. To become one of four,
yeah,
you've got to be a top-tier team. And I don't think there are 12 teams that deserve every year to be called the national champion. So with all that being said, forget it because it doesn't matter. But let's say the truth. It's about money. And so when you take this to the players
mm-hmm.
and you go into two semesters, it's not about APR. It's not about academics.
Right.
It's about money. And I'm still waiting. And I know I'm going to be sitting in some meetings about this.
Right.
I've been in a lot of them preceding this, and I haven't found the person courageous enough to say yet this is all about billions instead of millions.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's what it takes to keep all athletics programs alive, if that's going to enrich every institution, not just football, but their athletics departments, so be it. But let's not make a farce of it, Adam. That this is a better way to find a champion. It's not.
As I've said, they're not making the playoff better. They're just making it bigger. And, again,
when have we gotten it wrong to this point doing it this way? Who's the team that should have been a national champion that
right.
didn't end up?
Right.
And I challenge anybody. Well, could have. You know who would have loved this? Paul Johnson. You get that offense in a 12-team playoff, he may win it all. Because you got 1 week to prepare.
Not if you were there.
Well, we did a pretty good job.
That's why I said it. You guys did a good
job. But I brought some old heads in. And remember, I got Alabama wishbone background. I brought some old heads in to remind all of us from the very beginning at Duke how you defend it. So we've had Army. We had Navy. We had Georgia Tech. We were playing three of them a year at times.
Right.
Now, you want to talk about why my
That's
head,
right.
why my head's losing hair? There it is, right there.
Are you well? Me?
I like your look, but you can get away with it. I can't.
Well, I'm lucky. I'm very. I don't know that you can't. But
my wife says I can't. So
okay,
I can't go there.
My wife has never been wrong. I'm sure yours hasn't.
Same
either.
Way.
Thank you very much for sitting down. We'll talk again very soon.
All right, man. Take care.
A man who is dressed way better. I put on a jacket for this for some reason. The man is dressed way better than I am. Sam Howell, quarterback at UNC, is sitting down with us now at ACC football kickoff. How are you, man? I've watched you play for 2 years, but I have never seen you this close. You clean up well.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. You know, I put a lot of thought into it and time into
it. Oh, did you? Do you have a stylist yet?
I don't have a stylist yet. It might be in the works, though.
Oh, well, look, there's a lot of things in the works, and I want to talk about a bunch of things. How are you dealing with the hype of the Heisman Trophy?
Yeah, you know, I'm not paying too much attention to it. You know, obviously I see it. You know, people talk about it a lot.
Tease you?
Not really. You know, because they know I don't like. That's not why I play the game. I don't play the game for the attention. But you know, I think the main thing for me is just making sure my teammates know that I'm going to give them every single thing I got. You know, I'm not worried about the Heisman Trophy. I think when you look at the past couple Heisman winners, you know, it's usually the best player on the best team that wins the trophy. So really, all I want to do is just give my team everything I got on a daily basis, and leave it all out there on the field every single game that I play in. You know, obviously it's a dream of mine to win the Heisman Trophy, mm-hmm. But you know, I think, you know, if I do everything I can for my team, then everything else will take care of for itself.
Interesting. What other dreams have you had related to football as a kid growing up, or maybe when you got to UNC?
Yeah, you know, I want to win a championship. I want to bring a championship back to North Carolina. I always dreamed of winning a championship, so I think that's probably the next thing on my list of my dreams I want to accomplish is bringing a championship to North Carolina.
What is the impact that Mac Brown has had on your young career and the program from your perspective?
Yeah, you know, he's had such an amazing impact in my life, not only on the field but off the field as well. You know, he's been around the game for so long. He knows so many people. He's seen it from both the coaching side, the playing side, and the media side. So he's been on all different sides of it. So he just has a really good understanding, you know, of what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. So he's just a great person to talk to. You know, he's so smart. You know, I think the one thing about him is he just cares. He cares about all his players. He treats us like we're his sons. He cares more about our life outside of football than he does inside of football.
Fair to say that you're not here if he's not here?
Yeah, it's definitely fair to say. You know, I would have never came to North Carolina if it wasn't for Coach Brown. So things would be a lot different if he wasn't here.
There's a reason enough that to hire Mac Brown a couple of years ago. Sam Howell, North Carolina quarterback, is joining us. Name, image, and likeness had Sam Howell written all over it. But I want to ask you this, because I had read a lot about Derek King and what Miami's quarterback had been doing in terms of reaching out and trying to help people. So talk to me about your association with an organization called Table, which I know you have partnered with, which I find fascinating because it's not only about, you know, helping yourself. You certainly could help yourself in this, but Table is about more than that. So explain that to us.
Yeah, you know, I definitely just want to do things the right way with this whole NIL stuff. And you know, I think it's a great opportunity for me to partner with someone that can help me get back to the community. You know, there's been so many people that kind of helped me get to where I am today. So Table is a great organization who helps feed underprivileged kids, kids that don't get three meals a day. Table helps feed kids. So it's just something I was passionate about. I wanted to make sure I partner with someone who can kind of help me get back to the community, and Table's been an awesome partner, and so I'm super excited about that partnership moving forward.
How has this new opportunity, how has it, I don't know if it, even know if impacted you is the right way of putting it. We knew it was going to happen. So explain how you have embraced this, how you are maybe protecting yourself against a lot of things that could happen from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you just got to stay grounded and make sure you keep the main thing the main thing. That's what I tell myself all the time. That's what I tell my teammates. You know, there's just so many distractions out there today and so many things that can pull guys away from football. So I just try to be an example of that. Make sure I keep the main thing, whether it's NIL stuff, future NFL stuff, stuff like that. You know, the hype people are saying about our team, you just got to make sure we stay grounded and just stay true to who we are and just really just take it one day at a time.
Was the first, I guess, endorsement, was that tea? Was it iced tea or something?
No, that wasn't me. My first deal partnership was with Table, organization. Yep.
Oh, that's very good. All right, now there's a, I don't know, how what, 8,000 yards out the door last year? And you experienced that in the Orange Bowl when those guys weren't there. So what's uh, who Who's your security blanket this year?
Yeah, you know, we definitely lost a lot of really good players, a lot of talented players. There's a lot of guys that we have that are super talented that I'm excited for. You know, Josh Downs is a player that's going to play in the slot for us. He played in the Orange Bowl, had two touchdowns in the Orange Bowl. So I'm really excited about him. We got Garrett Walson, our tight end, coming back, who I think is a phenomenal player. We need to do a better job of getting him the ball a little bit more. So we'll get him more involved. And on the outside, we have Bo Corrales coming back. His season ended short last year due to injury. But he looks good. He's moving good. So I'm super excited to have him back.
He's big.
Yeah, he is.
As a wide receiver, big. He's tight end big in a wide wide receiver position.
Yeah, and he moves like a wide receiver. He has the ability to stretch the field. He's gotten a lot faster. He has that deep ball ability. So I'm super excited for him. And there's just a lot of guys. And the wide receivers work so hard. And Coach Galloway does a really good job in managing that room and making sure those guys are developing. You know, I've really spent a lot of time with them this offseason just because I know how important it is that we have really good timing.
Final thing before we let Sam Howell go, and we'll talk with Mac Brown. A couple of years ago, there was a reason why Mac was brought back. Program needed new energy. It needed a better, more wins on the field. So now we're in year three, and the expectations are sky high. Explain the feeling, the pressures that go along with those expectations.
Yeah, I mean, we understand the expectations that people have for us, but I think no one's expectations are important besides our own for ourselves. And I think as a team, we expect to win every game. We expect to bring a championship to North Carolina. That's the mentality of our team. We're confident. We truly believe that we can do that. And that's just kind of our mindset about all that. I think the big thing for us, you know, as leading up to this year and as we move throughout this year, is not to worry about the hype and not to think about the hype and don't believe the hype, because you know, everyone's saying we're going to win 10, 11, 12 games this year. And it's not just going to happen just because people are saying they think it's going to happen. You know, people are wrong all the time. And with that, I mean, we just got to put the work in and actually do what it takes to get to that point. So we just got to do what we can and control what we can control.
It should be a blast. Thank you very much for sitting down. Appreciate it. Good luck. You do. You dress up nice.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You do as
no,
well.
No. Just some old rags found on the floor. Thanks, Sam.
Appreciate it, man.
Take care. Let me ask Mac Brown how things are different today than the first time he was at North Carolina. Is it okay for me to marvel in how things have dramatically changed in 2 years? Do you marvel at where this program is today from 2 years ago?
I'm really proud. I did not think we would be where we are today. And I'm proud because of We've done it right. The fans are pumped. They're excited. Gosh. And they weren't.
Right.
And we just sold all the tickets. And I challenged them when we got here. I said, you all want to be the best team in the country. How can you do that if you're average fan base? Be the best fan base in the country. Right. And now they've bought all the tickets, and even after the pandemic. And I love it. I'm excited for them. Our recruiting is going really, really well. Mm-hmm. We've put ourselves at a different level of expectation. And now it's time to keep our mouth shut and start winning. And that's eight's fine, but if you're going to be great, you can't talk about being great without being great. And to get to where we want to go, to beat people in recruiting that we're recruiting against, mm-hmm. we've got to start being a national team, and that's what we're headed toward.
How did Sam Howell get here? How did that happen? He was committed elsewhere, and he could have gone anywhere when that commitment kind of, you know, ended. How did Sam Howell get here?
We were really lucky. Number one, he grew up wanting to be the quarterback at North Carolina his whole life. And then Walt Bell was somebody he just loved, and he was the offensive coordinator at Florida State. Walt Bell leaves as we're coming in, and he takes the head coaching job at UMass.
Right.
I'm not sure if Walt Bell was still the offensive coordinator at Florida State that we could have flipped him. But it was perfect timing for us.
Right.
And then we explained to him the offense that we wanted. His dad's an offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm. They loved the offense. And then they sat there and said, okay, we got to see a guy. Who's going to be the offensive coordinator? And I said, well, I got some names. Who? I said, well, I can't tell you. Those guys have got jobs.
He recruited you.
He did. And he and Coach Longo had conversations when Phil was at Ole Miss, thank goodness.
Right.
And Phil really wanted him at that time. So it just worked, and it's been a dream for us for the first 2 years.
He's been tremendous. We talked about his association with that group Table, and these types of things. a lot of people, I heard it last night on the after the NBA final, he's a better person than he is a player. Those types of things, the way you feel about your players, have to just make you feel good about who they are as opposed to what they are.
They really do. We had a conversation last spring before the pandemic. Bubba Cunningham, our athletics director, came in and said, guys, here's what we think's going to happen with name, image, and likeness. And he was pretty right on.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, are there any questions at the end to the team? And this is when we could still have a team meeting. Sam stood up and said, yes, sir, can I speak? And not prompted at all. And
right.
He said, I don't like this because this could separate the locker room. And the quarterback's going to make more money or the great running back or the great receiver.
Right.
And it's not fair to the team. So we need to think about this. And what Sam did with his first opportunity is – feed underprivileged kids. How cool is that?
Yeah.
And I told him that that's better than any money you could have ever taken. Sam's going to make his money.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's talking to our athletics department about group licensing where his jersey and he can spread the money out amongst the entire team. So for this to work, it's going to have to be things like that. When your best player cares about your mm-hmm. team more than he does himself, then it's going to work. And there's going to be two or three players make a lot of money possibly on
sure.
each team. 97%'s not. And I've told all of them, you better worry more about your ball than your brand, because if you're not balling, they're not going to be branding you, man. they don't want you to represent their company unless you're making a splash.
Mm-hmm.
So don't plan on this being your money. Plan on preparing yourself for that degree and job after football. And that's back to where we are. Now, we are forcing them to learn about federal and state taxes earlier.
Ah.
We are forcing them to learn about conversations with agents, and
sure.
that agent's going to take maybe 20% of your opportunities.
That's
so
a
by
high
the time
it's a high percentage.
Well, by the time they take marketing agents take 20%, federal tax takes some, state tax makes
sure.
some. Some of our guys will be paying back the government here. So that'll be a difference for them as well.
Hey, that's just part of growing up.
Part of growing up, we're just making them grow up faster.
Learning how to pay taxes. Mac Brown is joining us. Other things are going on. I don't want to not talk about your football team, but we're going into an era of an expanded playoff. What's your feeling on that?
I have always thought 4 wasn't enough.
Okay.
Because a team gets beat early, you're out.
Right.
And I don't like that, because you could lose a quarterback early and then rebound and have one of the best teams in the country. I've always said 8. Some people thought 6. I had not thought 12. We're actually meeting with Commissioner Phillips this afternoon, and he's going to explain to us the thought behind 12. So I got it. I want to hear it. But 12 seems like a lot to me, and I talked to our players about it, and it got more publicity than I ever dreamed. I just said. But the players said, you know, there aren't 12 teams that can win it right now.
Right.
On a normal year, so why play 12? And then you start looking at opt-outs, and you start looking at the bowls and the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think name, image, and likeness was thrown on us without much explanation, without many guidelines. Transfer portal was thrown on us without guidelines. I'd rather see us understand what a 12-team playoff will mean for all of us. Does that change the regular season?
Mm-hmm.
Who goes? Who are those extra spots outside of championship teams? Does it involve group of five? Does it involve one team of group of five or the highest-rated teams, period? Does group of five have their own championship? Come on, man.
Right.
Let's talk about what this means instead of just throwing out 12-team playoff and saying, you like this? Well, that's like throwing out a picture and saying, you like her? I don't know her. Man, I'd like to have some information. So I think that's what we're working on.
Is college football as a game, not I'm talking about the product on TV or the players, but as a game or as a sport, is college football today better than it was 25 years ago?
I think yes, because there's more interest. Social media has changed our lives, not just sports. It's changed our lives. Is it better? There's so many wonderful things about social media, yes. Is it more hurtful and more opinions from anonymous people? Yeah. So we've got some bad with all the good that we get. Is college football better for the players? Well, it's safer. We got GPSs on kids that we can tell before they pull a hamstring. I mean, in my day, there was nothing, man. Keep running, kid. You know, don't you stop. So there's so many – it's safer. We're smarter. The rules are better in my estimation. So I think yes, and it's a popular game. And what we've got to make sure, I think name, image, and likeness will settle down here.
Yeah,
it's not going to be what everybody thought, and it'll be okay. I do think the transfer portal's already settling down because so many of the kids are jumping in there aren't getting opportunities that they think they're going to get.
Right.
So that's going to be a slower jump in the future. So I do think that college football is in a great place, and people that think name, image, and likeness is going to ruin it and transfer portal is going to ruin it. No, the game's stronger than all the stuff that we do to it.
Exactly. And I was that's how I was going to sum it up.
Yes.
As many things that as could have killed it, it hasn't died. Not going to.
No.
Too many people are interested.
They really are. And the coaches will say, I'm going to quit because we've ruined the game. Nah.
We have to let you go. But you're a part of why people are interested. Bubba called it your ability to communicate. You and I have met twice, but it's a comfortable conversation, and I thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you for having me on, and to everybody, this COVID's still out there, so let's be smart.
Yes.
We want people back in the stands, and we want functions like this again.
You're close to 85%.
Yeah.
If I can help you get over 80, I'll yell at them.
I know. I've already told them, stick me. Stick me everywhere. I will take it because I want our country back to normal and safe.
That's more fun.
Yeah.
All right.
It's more fun.
Mac Brown, thank you very much.
Thank you, Adam.
I appreciate it very much.
You've been listening to the best of the Adam Gold Show podcast. Part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network, brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting Adam to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 3 p.m. Or you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.